I am so thankful that we know that our Redeemer lives. I am so thankful that we have the opportunity to continue in our worship to Him, to praising Him, to praising our God, to lifting up song, lifting up prayer, reading God's Word. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to worship together. I'm so thankful that even though we have those who aren't able to be here, they can worship along with us through our live stream. Today, we have a lot of special members here. We have a lot of special folks here. But we have one who is here for the very first time. So, Cam is coming up. You had that look like, am I coming or not? So, I got a little confused myself. But here's baby Cam. He's like a grown man. I hear you, buddy. He didn't like to be moved there, but look at there. He does seem so little, but he weighed like 10 pounds when he was born, so he's precious, Darian. Thank you very much. Got him? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's just a perk, you know, I get to have with my job here. But I am very proud that that young man is here and he's healthy. And I'm very proud that his parents have him here in worship today. We've been talking a lot about moving forward in life. That is our theme this year. I believe it's a great theme because I believe it's what God wants us to do. God wants us to move forward spiritually. He doesn't want us to take steps back. He doesn't want us to take steps in concrete. He wants us to go forward. In order to do that, we have to do a lot of the things that we've talked about already this year. We can't let setbacks get in the way. The devil's going to try to discourage us. He's going to try to bring us down. And one of the lies he's going to tell in life is, as a Christian, God doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to make it. He doesn't want you to make progress. And see, that's a lie. Because God has always wanted His people to be successful. The Bible is filled with stories of God's people being successful. God's people making it. God's people moving forward. One of those stories is found in Joshua chapter 1. As Jeff was talking to us about heroes today, he reminded us of Joshua, how he was a great hero. God wanted Joshua to be successful. Think about that. Here's Joshua getting ready to lead the people of Israel. That was not an easy job. He's getting ready to lead the people of Israel. God didn't want him to fail. Where's he leading him to? The Promised Land, across the Jordan River. Something Moses didn't even get the chance to do. But God wanted Joshua to be successful in doing it. How do you know that? Well, let's listen to Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore," listen to this, "arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them." That's success. God's giving them success. The children of Israel, verse 3 now, "every place," this is success, "that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses," again, more success, verse 4, "from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory." That's success. No man, verse 5, shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Success, right? As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, listen to this, success now, you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think sometimes we think the word success is a man-made word. But God told Joshua, I want you to stick to the word. I want you to stick to the law. Today it would be the Bible. I want you to stick to the law. Do not depart from it, not to the right nor to the left. You stay in it. You let it guide you. You let it be what is commanded of you, what is demanded of you. If you do that, Joshua, no man will ever stand before you. All this land, from the great river to over here, the Hittites and everything in between, it will be yours. Every place your foot steps will be yours. You will be prosperous, and here it is, you will have good success. One of the biggest lies Satan tells you today is God doesn't want you to be successful. But I'm here to tell you that that's just not true. You see, if we think of success like the world thinks of success, you know what we think of? Big. We think of big. Big house. Big car notes. Big salary. Big bank account funds. Big whatever. Fill in the blank, right? That's the way. If a person has all this money and has all this land and has all this wealth and everything else, we think that person is successful. But that's not the way God thinks of success. The fact is, success starts and ends with our Heavenly Father. It starts and ends with our Heavenly Father. God has already set into place everything and every person we will need to be successful. You may not have heard me, let me say it again. God has already set into place everything and every person that we need in our lives to truly be successful in God's sight. How do you know that? Turn in your Bibles to what was read to us this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29. Thank you, Gabriel, for reading that to us. We're going to read verses 10 through 14. That's just verse 11 there. But Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. God understands the plans better for us than we ever could for ourselves. Here's what how it reads, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, remember they were going into captivity, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise, and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now here's why that passage is important. Israel was about to go through some really hard times. 70 years they were going into captivity. It was going to start with King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And because of that, God said, you're going to be pretty miserable, really. The prophets have told him that. But at the end of the day, if you will trust me, you will seek me with all your heart, not some of your heart, not most of your heart, not a great majority of your heart, all your heart, if you'll seek me, then I'm going to restore all that back to you. You see, church, here's why this is important today. Because there are a lot of people today seeking worldly success instead of seeking God. There may be even a lot of people this morning, and I know there are a lot sick and there are a lot out, but let's face it, church attendance is not where it was 3 years ago. There may be a lot today that think, hey, you know what? I'm completely satisfied where I am in life because I've got a good job, my marriage is good, we're having a lot of fun, my kids are popular, my kids are doing great things in life, and you know what? I'm just going to put that church stuff on the back burner right now. Because I feel successful. Well, I want you to know this. If we're not careful, there is a time of Babylon coming. There is a time of captivity coming. True success is not measured by dollar bills. It's measured by our walk with God. And in order for us to be on track and to move forward in life, we can't chase dollars and we can't chase big and we can't chase all these things. If we receive that, praise be to God. But at the end of the day, God wants you and He wants me and He desires us to be this successful. However, He is the one who defines what successful is for us. He wanted Joshua and He wanted Israel to be successful. He wants His church to be successful. We as Christians should not walk around with our heads held low all the time. We ought to walk around boldly with our heads held high because we are declaring the Word of the Lord. After all God completed when it came to creation. Think about this now. In 7 days, God created everything we know. Well, He didn't create money. Yeah, He did. He created gold. He created value. He created diamonds. He created all these things. All the things that we know that people define success off, God created it in 7 days. And at the end of it, you know what He said? He said, it is good. He didn't make any mistakes. You're not a mistake. This world wasn't a mistake. The tree wasn't a mistake. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil wasn't a mistake. The mistake came when Satan got involved and fouled it all up. God didn't make mistakes. But sometimes we get in the way and we foul it up. We foul up what true success is. But God knows what true success is. Success for you and me starts with seeking first and foremost the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Jesus said in that context, food, clothing, and shelter will be yours. I can't promise you it'll be a mansion. I can't promise you it'll be designer clothes. I can't promise you that it'll be the richest of foods every night. But food, clothing, and shelter you will have if you will seek first the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people chasing success that aren't seeking God first. Worldly success versus godly success. Worldly will fail every time. It may not fail to the very end, but at the very end, it will fail. Godly success will always succeed. I want us to look at one more individual this morning. I want us to look at someone that I mentioned in class today. I want us to look at the life of Abraham. Abraham, God wanted to be successful. He wanted Abraham to succeed. Why? Why did Abraham need to succeed? Because Adam and Eve messed up. See, here's Adam and Eve, alright? Here's the Garden of Eden. Everything's moving forward. Everything's going great. Going just exactly the way God planned it. He created everything in 6 days. 7 days he rested. He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All they had to do was avoid one tree. Satan got in their ear and said, God doesn't want you to be successful. That's what he's telling them. He doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be this. He doesn't want you to be that. So Eve eats of the tree, and she fouls it all up right then. God didn't come up with a scheme of redemption right then. He's had the scheme of redemption the whole time. But it came into motion right then. Because sin entered the world through God's creation of man. And because sin entered the world, there had to be a way out. But Adam and Eve were moving forward, and now they're in hiding. Think about that. Everything was great. They were successful. They were moving forward. And now, because they desired human, godly, worldly success, they are now in hiding. That's what the world leaves you. And because they're in hiding, God had to get Jesus Christ into the world, so He needed Abraham. He called up Abraham. I need you to be successful. Why does He need him to be successful? Because you're going to be the father of many nations. Well, technically, he only has one son, right? He has a son. Well, he has Ishmael, I know, but one son through Sarah named Isaac. But Isaac ended up marrying Rebekah. And Isaac and Rebekah had some sons. Remember? Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau, Jacob ends up through Rebekah scheming against Esau, and he gets it all. He gets the inheritance and he gets the blessing. Well, he goes and he marries Rachel. He loves Rachel very much, but his father-in-law knows that Leah's probably not going to get married, so he gives Leah instead of Rachel. And ultimately, he's in this really strange love triangle. He's married to Leah and he's married to Rachel, and there's a maidservant named Bilhah and a maidservant named Zilpah, and it's all involved, and you think these are the days of our lives are weird now. It was really strange back then too. Okay? But through it all, he has a lot of children. Okay, a lot of children. From Reuben to Benjamin, there's a lot of children, right? 12 sons. Even Joseph, even though there's not a tribe of Joseph, there's a half tribe of Ephraim and a half tribe of Manasseh that make up the Joseph tribe, if you will. But these children, after a wrestling match with God, Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And the 12 sons of Jacob ultimately become the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those tribes is not a priestly tribe. That's the Levitical tribe. One of those tribes is Judah. And Judah has a child come from it, who becomes the high priest. And the Bible tells us, the Hebrew writer specifically, when there is a change in the priesthood, it demands a change in the law. And because Jesus Christ became high priest, not through the tribe of Levi, but through the tribe of Judah, it changed the law. And Jesus Christ changed the world. And Jesus Christ changed success. Adam and Eve, who started out successful, ended up in hiding. Israel came through Abraham. God needed Abraham to be successful. From Abraham's life, we can learn 4 valuable lessons. Here they are. Number 1, success is found when we learn to trust in God's design for our life. Read along with me in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Again, this is under the mindset of success is found when we learn to trust in God's design for our life. Genesis 15, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Again, God does not want His people to not be successful. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. I bet you he wasn't able to. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Do not miss this last part. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. It was on that occasion when God took Abram outside and looked up at the stars, and he said, You count them if you're able to. And he, obviously, you know how many stars are in the sky? It'd take you forever to count them all. But he said, That's how many children you will have. That's all those children of Israel, right? That's all the Christians today through Jesus Christ who's blessed us. We're children of Abraham, so to speak. We're grafted into the family. It was at that occasion that Abram began to believe in God's design, in God's plan. And it was on that occasion when Abram started being successful for God. You see, God has wonderfully and marvelously made each and every one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be successful soul winners. He wants us to be successful church members. He wants us to be successful as a church family. But in order to do that, we must trust Him. We must know that the Father really does know best. You see, the devil wants you to doubt. He wants you to fear. Why? Because that doubt, that fear, gives a moment for him to creep in and stops forward momentum. Adam and Eve, doing great. Everything's according to God's plan. They listen to Satan. They partake of what he's given. And now they're in hiding. The devil wants you to be a failure. God wants you to be successful. We must be like Abraham. And we must trust God's design, God's plan for our lives. We must let go of whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're worrying with, and we must let God. Secondly, we learn from Abraham that success is found when we learn to be obedient to Him. Abraham was obedient to God. He answered God's call. Whatever God said to do, Abraham did. Listen to Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to this land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. That's success. So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Note verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, to go with that point, success is found when we learn to be obedient. Hear what God asked him to do. He said, Leave not your city, not your town, not your neighborhood. Leave the country. Leave the country you live in. All your kindred, all those you are kin to, leave them behind and take up and go to a place I haven't shown you, I haven't told you about, but I will show you. You go wherever I tell you to go. You see, Abram wasn't successful yet. But he became very successful. He even became very wealthy. But it all happened when he let go of self and opened up to God. When we remove self, when we remove the world, when we trust in God and obey God, it is then and only then we truly start finding success. In Matthew 28, Jesus said for us to go. He said, go into all the world. Make disciples. Baptize. Teach. Once we become obedient to that, then as a church, we'll truly be successful. Now I want to remind you that he also reminded them to be witnesses in Jerusalem. We got to start in our Jerusalems. We got to branch out to the rest of our Samarias and uttermost parts of the world. But in order for us to be a successful church, in order for us to be a successful person, we too must let go of self, let go of the world, and listen to the Savior. Thirdly, this morning, we learn from Abraham. Success is found when we have faith that what God says will be, will be. Whatever God says will happen, will happen. When we fully trust that, that's when we, as a Christian, will truly find success. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I lost my place. On one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham had the faith to go through with this tremendous test. How? That's got to be the question we all ask. God's promised him, you just go from your kindred, go from your country. Abraham trusted. You're going to be the father of all these nations. Abraham believed. Now you have this son who's going to start all this offspring. Now I want you to go sacrifice him. How did he do that? Because Abraham had the faith in God's word that it was his word. Go back to verse 5. It's pivotal. So here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. You know what Abraham knew? He knew that God would provide. He knew it. He had faith that God would make his offspring numerous. He took him outside and he showed him the stars of the sky. So why would God take away the only one who could help him with that? He wouldn't, because he believed what God said will be. If God made a promise, if God made a statement, it was going to happen. So Abraham had the faith to know that God wasn't going to let him kill his son that day. He had faith that God would bless his seed. Do we have that kind of faith today? There are obviously some of our number that do not. What I mean by that is this: there's some that have fallen away. There's some that have made things more important. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about those who are in quarantine trying to keep everybody else well. You know me well enough to know I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about sin. There have been those who have fallen from our number because they have sought worldly success, worldly popularity, worldly happiness. All of that is fleeing. It's going away. Do you think if Abram, when he was Abram, in Genesis 12, would have said to his buddies, "Hey, there's this being out there named God." Remember, he was living in Ur of Chaldees, which was very idol-y. There was a lot of idols. But if he said, "Hey, you know what? There's this being out there I call God, Yahweh, that's told me to leave, and I'm going to be leaving." You think they would have been like, "Proud of you, man. Great job." No, they would have said, "You're crazy." That's probably why he just did it. Or if at 100 years old, he tells his buddies, "Hey, guess what? God just took me outside and showed me all the stars in the sky. I'm going to have that many children at 100 years old." They would have been like, "You are crazy." But then when he had that child, if he'd have told those in his company, "Hey, I'm going to go over here and sacrifice my son," they would have said, "You're a maniac." But see, Abraham knew that what God said will be, will be. Do we have that kind of faith today? Do we have the courage to do anything God will ask? It leads us to our last point this morning. Success is found when we follow through with God's plan. You know, the book of James that we're talking about on Sunday mornings in the fellowship hall, James said, "Faith without works is dead." Believing all these things that we just talked about is one thing. Following through is something totally different. Abraham, however, trusted, believed, obeyed, and had tremendous faith and courage. However, he became successful, truly successful, when he put Isaac on the altar. Think about that. When he laid his son, who was old enough to communicate with him, and say, "Dad, I see the sticks, and I see the rope, and I see the stones. Where's the sacrifice?" Could you imagine the conversation that he had when he probably just bear hugged him and put him up there and started tying him up? "Dad, what are you doing? Father, what are you doing?" And Abraham's probably saying, "God will provide. God will provide." That's when Abraham became successful, when he laid it on the line. If Abraham doesn't follow through, he doesn't become the father of our faith or the father of many nations. It was the follow through that brought success. We can all talk a good talk, but until we walk a good walk, we will always live in doubt and fear and failure. No matter what the world says, success is. We will not be successful. Because good success comes from godly living. Today, as we close, my question to you is this. Are you willing to lay it on the altar? Are you willing to put it before God? Do you truly want to move forward? Do you truly want to be successful? Well, the time has come to trust, to believe, to put it on the line. Today, lay your life. Lay it before God. Let it be a sacrifice. Submit to Him through baptism, or come home and lay it all down again. And do it right now as together we stand and sing.